Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if I was to take a poll of all of you and ask you, as you read through the gospel today, the Passion, as you heard it, read it, or maybe even as you took part in it, if you were to identify for me what part of the story most captured you as you read through, maybe this time. Maybe it was the soldiers and Pilate, the governor, and the cruelty of the religious leaders. Maybe it was the weakness and failures of the disciples. Or maybe you're one of those who was just struck by Jesus' willingness to go the way of suffering and death. You see, there are really three views of this Passion narrative. Three ways to look at it. I'm reminded of that famous picture that you're given at some point during your educational process, where you look at this picture and you can see it two ways. One way you see the old hag lady with the big wart on her nose and she's turned to the side. And then if you look back and kind of refocus your eyes, you see the young damsel. Remember when you were in school the first time you were shown that and you began to see that there were different facets to the same picture. It's that way for us in the Passion narrative this morning, isn't it? First, we have to deal with the cruelty, the hatred, the evil that is taking Jesus to the cross. I got tickled at Lourdes, our new office manager. She was reading through this narrative and she was helping me get all the parts assigned. And she was reading through it and she says, "Gosh, I don't even want to keep reading this thing. They're being so mean to him. They're being so cruel." She had just, you know, it never really focused. It just read through the whole Passion at once. To read it slowly is really to face the cruelty, the violence, the sinful pride of humanity, and what we will do to remove those voices that would challenge our power. But I don't want you to focus on that aspect. You see, Jesus wasn't a victim. He cries, he prays, he sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass by me." And by that, he's using an Old Testament allusion to what Ezekiel talks about drinking the cup of God's wrath. He says, "If there's any way for this cup to pass from me, let it." But then as he continues to pray, he says, "But not my will, but your will be done." You see, Jesus willingly submits himself to that evil, to that human pride, to that violent reaction to him. He goes back to Jerusalem. He goes to Bethany. He raises Lazarus. He knows what that will mean. He says in the Gospel of John, "I lay my life down. No one takes it from me." So put aside the violent, angry men. What about the aspect of the disciples, especially Peter? It's easy for me to identify with that aspect of the story. Are you sleeping and resting? Thought about the Passion narrative. I thought about what we're doing here this morning as I was walking back and forth from my house between the services. people playing tennis and cutting their grass. Unaware of the hour that's at hand. Just like the disciples, just like me, resting, sleeping. I mean, how do we know what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Obviously, one of the disciples was at least awake enough to have heard some of Jesus' prayers before they fell asleep. I identify with them. The one action that's taken is Peter grabbing the sword and striking off the ear. Now, see, that's the kind of reaction I would have had. But that's not the way of suffering. That's resisting suffering. And then they all run away. Judas, one of the 12, betrays Jesus and then repents. Peter can't even face a servant girl with the gospel of who Jesus is. Twice. To a servant girl. You get that, right? Here is Jesus standing before all the religious powers of his day and the governmental, the legal powers of his day, and Peter can't even stand up to a slave girl and admit that he knows Jesus. And then probably even cursing the name of Jesus when the bystanders, those who are around, press him and say, you talk like him. You've got to be one of his disciples. Probably what Peter says is, may Jesus Christ be cursed if I know the man. I can identify with the disciples. But that's not the perspective that I want you to leave with from this story. It's that harder to see picture. It's that picture of Jesus. You see, our humanity goes to the violent men, goes to the weak disciples, but it is the picture of Jesus that we're supposed to see this morning. Jesus, who chose the way of suffering and death. He called the disciples to be with him, but he's willing to go utterly alone. Think of the worst time of your life. Think of the greatest tragedy, the hardest thing you've ever had to go through. Now, imagine if you knew exactly what it was going to be like. Wouldn't you be tempted to try to change things? Avoid that time? Jesus knew, and yet he walked straight into it. Jesus went the way of suffering. There's no deeper spiritual meaning here, folks. The picture is plain. Jesus' faithfulness, Jesus' willingness to suffer the cross for you and I. Though we are all unfaithful, yet He is faithful. Isaiah says, we all like sheep have gone astray, and God has put upon Him the iniquities of us all. Today, this passion narrative reminds us and emblazons the image of Jesus' willingness to go the way of suffering and death. I told a story a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, but I think it bears hearing again. A friend of mine, Rob, was describing the time in his life when he finally acknowledged who Jesus was, the Jesus that we see portrayed in the Passion today. Rob had grown up in a real fundamentalist Christian home, and he had rebelled against that. He had gotten out of his house and had gone off to college and had just begun to live. But in his own words, Rob had really opened himself up to a lot of evil and crazy stuff that he was exposed to. And by the time he was a man in his 20s, he actually said that he had become to really fear the darkness and the evil around him. And Rob said that at one point he honestly was in fear of his life, because he didn't know about God, but he knew these demonic forces were real and that they wanted to kill him. Finally, one night in desperation, Rob prayed a prayer. But it wasn't a godly religious prayer. It was a selfish prayer. He was so desperate, so afraid of what all the evil that was trying to get him, as he put it, in his life, after him, he in frustration and in desperation, he cried out one night, "God, whatever I've done to deserve all of this, put it on Jesus. Put it on Jesus. Let Him pay for my mistakes. Let Him pay for my sin." And immediately, he began to get it. He began to understand what it's all about. That's the way of suffering and death that Jesus walks for us. It is put upon Jesus. It is God the Son being faithful when all of us have been unfaithful. It is Jesus' willingness to walk the way of suffering and death that we might be set free. "Let His blood be on us and on our children," the crowd yells. They don't even know what they're asking. But yes, let His blood be on us. Let Jesus bear it, because only He can. For today we just contemplate the faithfulness of Jesus. We let the story speak for itself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.